Turn to the Sermon on the Mount as we continue our series through Jesus' teaching here to his disciples. Matthew chapter 5 is where we find our text, Matthew 5 at verse 43. And even though our Bible has these little subtitles, we're seeing today that this is really building upon what Jesus said last week and preparing us for what he's going to be saying to us next week, Lord willing. So this finds its place in a particular context of Jesus teaching us how to respond to people who have not been kind to us. So Matthew 5 at verse 43, that's found on page 964. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And as far as reading in Matthew 5, I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we consider these words together this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who do we reserve our good gifts for? Who do we shower our blessings upon? I submit to you that it is human nature, it is common, it is seen across the board, that we reserve our good things, we reserve our blessings, our gifts for those who are our friends and our families. For example, if you say to your wife tomorrow, let's go out for pizza with another family, the people who you will invite to go out to pizza with you would be your friends, would be your family, would be people that you have a lot in common with, people who will likely return the favor and invite you to go out for pizza with them. But what if you were to buy a pizza and drop it off at the house of someone who is your enemy, someone who hates you? We don't do that. We don't think that way. We reserve our gifts for those who appreciate us, whose services we appreciate, people who are kind to us and who often return that kindness to us, while we ignore or steer clear of those who hate us or are hostile towards us. Well, today we continue this pressing application of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. And as I said before, Jesus is continuing this thought, this train of thought, that we are to be kind to those who are not kind to us. So last week we looked at when someone slaps you, you don't slap them back, you turn the other cheek. If someone sues you, you give them the shirt off your back. If someone forces you to go a mile, you go with them an extra mile. Instead of retaliating and giving people back the evil that they give you, you respond by being kind to them. Well, today Jesus is pressing the issue even further. The title of our sermon is simply this: who do you love? Who are we called to love? It is easy to love people who love you back, but we are called to love even our enemies. Now, when you're playing a sports game, children, it's important to know who's on your team and who's not on your team. On the field of battle, you need to know who is friend and who is foe. But sometimes in our lives, we make these divisions, these separations. We have a certain group of people who are our friends, our allies, people we are kind to. And then we have another group of people who are our foes, who are our enemies, people we are not kind to. But today, God is going to push us, put us in a position where we need to tear down these walls and to see the calling to love not only our friends, not only our neighbors, we are to love our foes. So we consider this theme. Jesus Christ instructs his people to love their enemies as the Father has shown kindness to this fallen world. Now, when I was picking songs to sing today, you will notice that the songs that I picked to sing have titles like, I love thy church, I love thy kingdom, I love the Lord, but I could not find a song that said, I love my enemies, Lord. I couldn't find that song. That's so countercultural. We don't think like that. But today we are called to. In our first point, then, we consider the call to love our enemy. So the question before us is this: who is your enemy? Who is your enemy? Now, we don't like to be to think in these terms. We like to be people pleasers. We like to think that everybody likes us, or we at least try to make everybody like us. But the fact is, everyone has enemies. People who slap us on the face, people who sue us, people who injure us, people who persecute us, as verse 44 says. So who are a few enemies that we face? Well, if you've watched the news in this past week, there's one very clear example. There was a group of anti-ICE protesters that stormed into a church to disrupt worship services in Minnesota. I submit to you that one group of people who are our enemies are those who are rioting and chanting in the streets. They are an enemy of the truth. The Bible says, love your enemies. Those politicians that are pro-LGBT and who are the most vehement opponents of Christ, his people, and his church are our enemies. Jesus says, love your enemies. Even closer to home, you might have coworkers that make your life miserable. Because of your convictions, because of things you refuse to do, they are your enemies. Jesus says, love your enemies. Or for our children, perhaps you have a classmate who makes your life miserable, who makes fun of you for how your parents are raising you, or make fun of you for the shoes that you wear, or for your inability to play a particular sport. They mock you, or they make fun of your name. These are your enemies. And Jesus says, love your enemies. Someone who ignores you when you greet them. But the fact is, there are sometimes enemies in our own homes, in our own families. The fact is, there are times when we are living in conflict, in hostility, in our own families. So when a husband and wife are engaged in a bitter conflict, in hostility, they're having an argument. Is your spouse not at that very moment your enemy? Or perhaps you have an obstinate child who is talking back to you and refuses to listen and to obey, disrespecting you. Isn't that child making themselves one of your enemies? What does Jesus say? Love your enemies. So during these times of conflict and hostility, even in the home, our enemies are the ones who are closest to us. You see, your enemies do not need to be the lifelong generational foes like the Hatfield and McCoys. In that particular moment, in that particular time in your life, if there is someone who is in conflict with you, someone you are arguing with, someone you have some hostility with, that person is your enemy. And Jesus says, love your enemies. Here in this particular context, when we're talking about enemies, even God the Father shows us who are enemies, who are hostile to God and to his word. Who is an enemy of God? Anyone who does not acknowledge him or give him the glory that he deserves. When we look at it this way, an enemy is anyone who is not a believer, who is hostile to Christ, to his church, and to the truth. These are the enemies of God, and yet God says, love your enemies. the ones who are hostile to me even receive my kindness. Now, how are we called to love our enemies? Well, negatively, we saw this last week. How do we love our enemies? We refrain from giving them what they give us. We saw that last week. If your enemy slaps you, you don't slap them back. Negatively, you refrain from doing them harm. Today is the positive answer. Not only do you negatively refuse to do them harm, positively you are to show them grace. You are to do them good. You're to show them love. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. Love is long-suffering, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrong. A story is told of a young boy who comes home from school. He's in grade school. And this young boy has been picked on by his classmate. One particular classmate is just really nasty to this young boy. This young boy comes home, pours out his heart to his mother. And his mother's response is, "Let's pray. Let's pray for that classmate of yours." The young boy who's being picked on and teased by his classmates, the wise response of the mother is instead of fueling that anger, that mother moves that relationship, moves that situation into the realm of grace. Let's pray for that person who is persecuting you in your class. So we are to love, and our passage says, we are to pray for those who persecute you. Well, what should we pray for? We can rightly pray that God would soften the hearts of our enemies, that God would give them the Spirit, that they would indeed become Christians. We'd also pray for our own hearts, that God would soften our hearts, teach us how to show love to those who are mistreating us, that our enemy would learn about God and His grace through my actions. So when it comes to showing love to our enemies, we are called in our passage to reflect the kindness and love that God has shown to us and to others. So verse 45 continues, the love that God calls us to show others finds an example in the love that God has shown to all mankind. Well, how has God shown love to all mankind? John 3, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God loved the world, and the world includes all sorts of people. And again, we see the love of God in the giving and death of Jesus Christ. Who did Jesus die for? Well, we know that Jesus died for his people, that the good shepherd died for his sheep. But listen to these words from Romans 5, verse 10. While we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? Who did Jesus die for? He died for his enemies. He died for you while you were still an enemy. Jesus died for you. That's how he shows his love. He died for his enemies, and in dying for his enemies, he made them his friends. It was his death that changed us. But when he died for us, we were still his enemies. And in fact, this death of Jesus Christ is the greatest proof of love, because greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. But what about laying down your life for your enemies? Who does that? I mean, maybe husbands, you'd be willing to lay down your life for your family, for your wife, for your kids. You'd be willing to take a bullet in order to spare their lives. Would you die for your enemy? Well, that's what love does. So we are called here in our passage to reflect the kindness and love of God. When we do good, we are to show love, and in fact, proving that we are sons of God by what we do and how we love. That's what verse 45 says. You prove who you are when you love. Well, what is the example that a particular passage gives? It says, so in this way, verse 45, you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So who does God show kindness to? Our particular passage says that God sends his sunshine and his rain, his benevolent gifts, are bestowed upon the just and the unjust, the evil and the good. There is a common creational blessing that God bestows upon all men, on all creation, and on all people. Life, health, prosperity, food, family, the joys of this present life, these are blessings that God showers on all men. The field of the just and the unjust alike grow together in similar manner. Now, in this teaching, God's bestowing of his kindness to all mankind is what we've come to call common grace. This phrase, this theological term called common grace, may be termed as general kindness, creational blessings. It is not, to be clear, it is not saving or redeeming grace. All mankind is not being saved by way of this creational kindness. The gifts of rain and sunshine do not save everyone. This passage is not teaching universal redemption. But it is clear through this passage that there is a universal benevolence that God showers on all mankind, which every man enjoys. It's in two ways. First, God restrains the judgment that all men deserve. And second, he positively grants them the enjoyment of his blessings, yes, temporarily, but it is a real enjoyment of his blessings in the life today. This general kindness, sunshine and rain in our passage, is received and enjoyed by the just and the unjust, meaning those who are his people and those who are not. He sends these temporal blessings upon those who love him, and upon those who do not love him. Those who are his family, we could put it this way, those who are his family, and those who are his enemies. Yet God shows his love, his kindness, his benevolence. He showers his gifts, giving them to his children and to his enemies. You cannot tell the difference, just looking from human eyes, our perspective, we cannot tell the difference between the house or the field of a Christian and an unbeliever. Both enjoy the kindness of God today. So it is, Jesus is saying, as my people, as my children, you are not to make a distinction between someone who deserves your kindness, who deserves your love, and someone who does not deserve your love. This, brothers and sisters, is an incredibly high and difficult calling. And if you can do this, you are displaying your identity as a son of God, and even as verse 48 puts it, you are being perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, this does not mean perfect in the sense of not having sin. It means above reproach. That when someone looks at your life and they want to find some accusation against you, they can't find any accusation against you because your life is consistently above reproach. Doing good works to all. and in this way leaving your enemy without an excuse. For if your enemy wants to slander you or to bring up something against you, some accusation against you, you are so kind, so generous, even to them, that they are left speechless. Galatians 6, do not grow weary in doing good. Do good to all. Our passage says not only do good in showing love, but in prayer. Who do we pray for? If your prayers are like mine, your prayers are often filled with the people you love. Do we pray for our enemies? Do we pray for those who persecute us? We don't wait for someone to become lovely before we love them. We love them because God calls us to. Well, now that we have considered this incredibly high and difficult calling to reflect the kindness and goodness of our God to all, in our last point, we look at the promise of reward that is here contained. In verse 46, we actually find it negatively. If you love only those who love you, what reward will you have? If you love someone who already loves you back, how are you different from the world? I mean, everyone does that. It's easy to love people who are part of our family, who have a shared faith, members of our church. But here Jesus is saying there's no reward in loving someone who already loves you. If you give a gift to someone who is going to give you a gift back, there's no reward. I mean, we're not too far away from Christmas. And how many of us weren't involved in some gift exchange? I'm going to buy you a $50 gift knowing you're going to buy me a $50 gift in return. There's no reward in that. You're exchanging gifts. But here Jesus is saying, what if you were to give a gift to someone who was your enemy knowing that they hated you and they would never give you a gift in return? That's what Jesus is here saying. And to be clear, there is a difference between fellowship and hospitality. Fellowship is when you invite a member of your church or your family over for a meal or to play games. Fellowship is wonderful. I strongly encourage that. I wish we did more of that, inviting people over and playing games at each other's house. That's fellowship. That's wonderful. Hospitality is love of strangers. Hospitality is when you invite someone to your house knowing they'll never invite you back. Hospitality is expensive, it's costly, and it's hard. The love of a stranger, when you do some kind deed or show mercy to someone who will show you no kind deed or mercy in return. Being generous to someone who needs it and will never return what has been given. Jesus says, if you're greeting only people who greet you back, how are you different than the world? You're not. Everybody does that. So the reward promised in verse 46 is a reward reserved for those who show love to their enemies, who show kindness to those who will not return the favor. Christians should not just do what the world does. We're different. We're set apart. We do the things that other people would never think of doing. Just to fill this concept of a reward out a little bit, if you still have your Bibles open, Jesus is going to bring this up again in 6 verse 4. Talking about giving, we're going to talk about that next week. But your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. So that when you are doing your kindness, your love, your generosity, your hospitality, you're praying for people who are your enemies, and no one else is seeing it, you're not blowing trumpets and letting everybody know what you're doing. Your Father in heaven sees what you do in secret, and he will reward you. God has promised a reward to grant blessings in life to come to those who love their enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Even though your enemy won't reward you, God will. And that's how we set ourselves apart. That's how we're made known. That's how we are distinct from this world in which we live. When we love not just those who love us, but we love our enemies. To conclude, the idea, the calling to love your neighbor as yourself sounds easy in concept. But what about loving your enemy as yourself? Jesus Christ is applying the law of love in a greater degree. He's pressing home the issue. We're called to love. Love is an act of service that benefits others, especially when they don't deserve it. So Jesus Christ instructs his people to love their enemies as the Father has shown kindness to this fallen world. So as we depart and enter this week before us, let us seek to do good to all and to not grow weary in doing good. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we do pray that our hearts would be stirred to love and to show kindness, even as you, our Heavenly Father, shows kindness to those living in this fallen world. May we be known as sons and daughters of God by our love, our service, and in our prayer for all people, even loving our enemies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.